This is the second QRR on the contagion matter. Practice, that is. Ready. It's one of the deadliest pathogens known to infect humans, says Dr. Gabriel Brugelmans, Director of Epidemiology at the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, CEPI. The reason it's so scary is that it's very pathogenic across a broad range of mammals, including humans, and so it has what we call high pandemic potential, because there's a high likelihood of a spillover from animals to humans, she adds. In Malaysia, scientists eventually traced the virus from humans to pigs to fruit bats. While Sungai Nipah and the surrounding villages were hardest hit, it later emerged that the pathogen initially jumped to pigs and a handful of people 165 miles north of Ipoh, where bats are common. But it was in Sungai Nipah, where people lived in close proximity to their pigs and farms were tightly packed together, that the virus found the ideal conditions to thrive, sparking what remains the world's biggest and Malaysia's only Nipah outbreak. My memory of Nipah is the fever, the body aching, the panic, says Xiaoping Ching Pao, who caught the virus when he was 14. His father was one of the first to die in UMMC. As the virus spread, everyone in the village was scared. I knew so many people who got sick. In the years since, the pathogen has predominantly affected Bangladesh, where a slightly different and potentially more lethal strain circulates. The country has seen almost annual outbreaks of the Nipah belt. In the Nipah Belt, since the virus was first detected there in 2001. This year alone, 11 people have so far contracted the disease and 8 have died, the highest annual toll since 2015. Unlike Malaysia, Nipah generally jumps directly from bats to people in Bangladesh and parts of India, which has also seen sporadic outbreaks. Many of these cases have been linked to raw date juice, a sap that's popular among bats and humans alike. The flying mammal's contaminated saliva has turned the delicacy into a potential poison. There is also person-to-person transmission, but that's much, much less common. You really need to be in contact with bodily fluids from an infected human being to get that, says Dr. Brugelmans. But the possibilities for the virus to spill over from bats or other animals to us is pretty much endless. These fruit bats, they live in close proximity to markets, places of worship, schools, you name it, she adds. It's also used as fertilizer in fields, meaning agricultural workers can also be in frequent contact with the virus, so there's endless possibilities. And not just in Southeast Asia, where currently Nipah outbreaks predominantly happen. Fruit bats are all over the world, so if something were to change in the ecosystem, the vector is there. But with no tools to combat the disease, the prognosis for those infected is poor. Bangladesh has reported an overall fatality rate of 71%. Since 2001, 231 of the 330 known cases have died. In the southern Indian state of Kerala in 2018, Nipah killed 17 out of the 18 people who were infected. At a lab in Kuala Lumpur, tucked away behind a warren of keycard access points, a small team of female scientists are part of a growing effort to unlock new clues about how the body responds to the Nipah virus for the first time. By analysing the blood of 24 survivors in Sungai Nipah and comparing that to samples from 24 people in the community unaffected by the virus, the researchers aim to gather critical data which could guide the development of much-needed vaccines, as well as the assays used to test their performance. There is a need for a vaccine for prevention and protection, says Professor Li-Yen Chang, Associate Professor of Medical Microbiology at the University of Malaya, UM, and head of the Nipah virus work. But before a vaccine can be established, it is important to know how a person responds to an infection, whether they get an antibody response or any other immune response. So this project looks to characterise that, so vaccine developers can use that data, she adds. At least 8 groups, including the team behind Oxford AstraZeneca jab, are currently working on vaccine candidates that could benefit from UM's work. The Survivors Project, which has also been launched at ICDDRB Research Institute in Bangladesh, is funded by CEPI. The initiative is a major backer of Nipah vaccine development and the enabling research considered critical to reach that goal. I'm very excited about the work currently ongoing. I think it has a lot of potential, says Dr. Brugelmans. It's critical, particularly as it's such a deadly disease, but I think we also need to think about it in terms of pandemic preparedness. We're always one step behind nature. Outbreaks, epidemics, pandemics are occurring more frequently, so preparedness needs to be at the forefront of everything we do. In Malaysia, Professor Chang's team looks set to publish a paper describing the antibody response later this year. Characterising the second part of the immune response, T cells, is taking a little longer. They're currently in a troubleshooting phase and may adjust their methods. Nipah is really very scary, and I hope that we see no more outbreaks, says Dr. Hui Ming Ong, project manager of the UM Survivors Project.